Nothing to me says romance like looking for condoms and Hennessy.
She's the crazy one of the season.
And the drunk.
He calls her Naggy.
His shirt's open like a Colombian drug lord.
He does not like pizza.
Can we talk about the big, wide open fish mouth?
He's like a walking success poster. Yeah.
Hey guys, this is the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Christine Lee with Katie Pallotta. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
And Ryan Jones. Hey, Ryan.
What up?
So when the episode was on last night, I raced home after my son's baseball game. I was able to fast forward through a lot of the commercials. And on opposite the Bachelorette was the Home Run Derby. It was a tough and exciting night for television. Got to go. You went back and forth between the two.
Yeah, so I'd watch about 20, 25 minutes of one, and then once I got live, I'd flip over to the other one until I got live and back and forth and finish the Home Run Derby live and Bachelorette on about a 10-minute delay. So
once
I got
to the one-on-one with Peter, I'm like, okay, now I can go to the... Because my family was coming home, and I knew they would want to take over and watch the Home Run Derby. But anyway, we found out who the final four guys are.
Yes, and I don't think if... While you were watching the Home Run Derby, I don't think you missed too much substance in this episode.
Well, it was fortunately recording on the DVR, so we know it's down to Brian, Eric, Dean, and Peter. Our final four guys are going to the hometown dates, but the whole episode starts off in beautiful Geneva, Switzerland, the epicenter of the banking world, the place where every culture comes to do business. Beautiful scenery, Lake Geneva, the fountains, Breitling watches. I mean,
hashtag spawn.
I can't even wait to talk about the watches. But Katie, kick things off for us on how the whole episode begins.
They found out that there were going to be 3 one-on-one dates and then 1 3-on-1 date.
No rose ceremony.
Yeah. No rose ceremony, and everyone was just dreading that very small, intimate group date.
Well, because you basically knew whoever got the one-on-ones probably was going to be safe, and whoever was involved in that 3-on-1 was in big trouble.
One of the one-on-ones, you know, maybe they wouldn't get a rose and they would get sent home, and then only one person on the 3-on-1 would get sent home. But if you're having
highly
a one-on-one
unlikely
at this point, you're pretty much locked in.
Yeah, as long as you don't drool on yourself the whole time or something.
This or is, giggle.
Which, well...
I know, Dean was on the line there.
He almost did. It's pretty much, if you got one of the one-on-ones, it's basically, okay, let's make sure you're not totally crazy, probably not going to kill me in my sleep, and or just dribble on yourself all the time.
So Ryan connected the dots for me on the first date with Brian, where they go to the Breitling headquarters store, where the guy comes out with gloved hands and presents the watches, these, which I did look it up. The most expensive Breitling is a $225,000 Bentley.
Oh, is that
Breitling.
It?
Bentley and Breitling they do products together. So it's no wonder that after going to the Breitling,
They jump in a Bentley. And, you know, but with the watches, which was probably the most obvious sort of sponsorship thing we've seen this year. You know, we've seen a lot of them in years past. But what got me was he came out with the gloves on, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, when was the last time I was at a store where the person waiting on me had gloves? I think the only thing I can probably afford where the person waiting on me has gloves is probably Subway. And for my watches, I'm thinking, when would anyone ever wear gloves?
I found the watch they bought. It was a $1,200 Colt Breitling. The least expensive one they make is like under $900 in there. But I'm thinking, if you can't get a $5,000, why would you even want one? Store?
I would very much, because I think, like you said, I think it was the $1,200 one.
Yeah, but with the leather strap.
Yeah, but I'd be curious if they went a couple levels higher and the watches ended up being more expensive than the ring whoever that is ends up picking out for Rachel.
But how baller is she? I'll take two, his and hers.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't care if it is a trade out or whatever, if the whole thing's been planned, it's still pretty badass. You know, I'll take two, one for me and one for my little man right over here.
Yeah, she started the date out by saying, sometimes I like to treat my man. So,
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice touch.
You gotta take control.
He loved it too.
Yes. But then she let him take control because he drove the Bentley away.
Yeah.
In Geneva. And I think their date is the date to beat for the episode. It was a really nice date all the way around.
Yeah. They definitely had a good one. It was much better than, you know, the Dean date.
But if you notice, the guy, you know, they flip back to the guys at the hotel, and all of a sudden, Brian's the sweet-talking guy that's been sweet-talking ladies in Florida all these years.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? I mean, I know they've sort of made reference
Producer.
To it, but all of a sudden they're sitting back and he's a slick-talking dude.
Yeah, now he's a bad guy, like all of a sudden.
When did that happen?
They did that to us last season on The Bachelor, too, with one of the Bachelorette, with one of the contestants, where this person, Vanessa, all along she's this quiet Canadian girl, and then we start, she's sniveling, she's crying, she's got issues and baggage. Yeah. Where did this come from? Like, down to the final
four.
It's
all that pressure just starting to...
starting to crack. Yeah, so Brian confessed to Rachel the last time he introduced a woman to his family, the relationship ended because of... what. Well, did she say because of his mother, or that's what he thought?
Well, he said it was because of my mom.
But was that what
so
he
I don't
thought?
Know.
Or did the girlfriend say, I just met your mom, and bye-bye?
I don't know.
Do we know?
I feel like if it was just the ex-girlfriend saying it, then he would have said, she said it was because of my mom, you know? But he was just like, it was because of my mom.
Which, wow.
And it sounds like they're still close, so it's not like the mom's just
this
out of the picture now.
This is my biggest fear, by the way, as a mom, that I'm going to be that mom that my kids end up saying, okay, it's time to meet her.
Stop.
Isn't that something we needed more information on, though? Because why was the mother involved in them breaking up?
Yeah.
And was the woman that he was dating just unbelievably rude to the mother? Why didn't they have really... I mean, this is... Because, yeah, it can get a little creepy if you're a little too attached to your mother when it comes to relationships and having her have a say, but there's got to be more there.
Well, and there's probably nothing there, and that's why they left it open-ended. Like, you're right. She probably was a nightmare ex-girlfriend who was incredibly rude to the mother, and he saw her true colors, but in an effort to make things interesting, it was because of my mom.
But with him, he kept pivoting away, because when she was finally starting to get more details, not just on that, but in general about his past, he quickly turned around and said, oh, well, let's talk about you.
Well, and we may never know. Look what happened with Jordan Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers when we finally got the hometown and we're like, oh, now we're going to find out what the big family beef is.
Yeah.
And we never really did.
Or we will find out at hometowns.
Social media.
Yeah. Or social media.
Right.
But or we'll find out at hometowns, like maybe the mom will be like, this is what happened. Because they kind of built this whole thing around Brian, that's kind of his only
story
yeah. that we have. So maybe the mother will be like, yeah, they broke up because of me, but this is why.
He got someone else pregnant.
Yeah. So, what a plot twist.
And so when he gets the rose, all of a sudden the music starts swelling. You look up and there were just these random people sitting there ready to play their instruments. What if she sent him home?
Well, as we all know from the BuzzFeed,
play him out.
The BuzzFeed post that Katie put up on our Bachelor Podcast Facebook page, the BuzzFeed post, we all know that there's no accidents on The Bachelorette or The Bachelor.
That's right.
Pretty
saying,
much.
That could have been like awkward 101. Yeah, play a much more somber music on the way
as
out.
As he walks out.
Like on the Titanic.
Yeah.
Going out. Yeah, so Brian gets the rose. You know, she wants to go and meet the family. Where's his family?
It's Miami, right?
Miami, yeah. That's right.
Because
yes.
He's sweet-talking the ladies on
ladies
South Beach.
Man, South
and
Beach.
She can't wait to go to Miami.
Welcome to Miami. So next up is Dean. And go ahead, Katie.
Well, the day card said, dress in your Sunday best. So he was all excited, and then she was like, we're going to church. And he was like...
Less excited.
The giggling started, like, right as she's like, we're going to church.
Was that a nervous giggle?
And not
or?
Just church, but where they're speaking French.
Right.
And
yes.
Neither of them speak French.
Yes.
So, well, giggles galore.
I mean, I had always really liked Dean until last night. Yeah.
What was
can't
the giggling? Was it uncomfortable or lack of confidence or something?
I think it was a combination. I think it was everything.
Yeah,
he didn't want to answer any serious questions. She kept giving him, forget about openings, flat out telling him, now would be a good time to ask me some questions.
Yeah,
this date is a good time to ask me some questions.
And real questions, yeah. Not do you believe in the tooth fairy?
And all he did was kept giggling. And I kind of thought what we were talking before, like, yeah, you're pretty much a shoo-in if you get a one-on-one. But that, never mind. You would have to really fall over yourself. And it looks like he's doing nothing but falling over himself. And I don't know that he ever saved it. I mean, at the dinner portion, he finally got into his family dynamics a little about how his father is a little eccentric since his mother passed. And if you watched The Coming Attractions, you saw a little bit of that.
How eccentric he is.
Yeah, yeah. And he talked a little bit about that, but he was still sort of nervous giggling. And it's almost as if, like we talked about with the one-on-ones, that she made up her mind and, well, I'm going to give him the roses no matter what, because he did not do himself any favors
on
that
date. I feel like he's like on Big Brother. He's a pawn. If you guys ever watch Big Brother, sometimes you put someone up to be eliminated. Even they're the ones going. You put up against someone you want to keep. They're both nominated to go home, but the pawn's definitely going
home.
So
he's like, the one that's not getting.
I feel he's the pawn. Like he's up there just to make it easier for her to choose between the last three.
Basically, the one to not go to Fantasy Suites.
Exactly.
I mean, I understand why he was nervous, because all the guys were talking about, can't wait for Rachel to meet, my family, and it's going to be so much fun, and they're going to love her. And then he doesn't really have that background or have that family dynamic. So he was like, I wish you could see my family when I was, born to 15 years old, because that's when I had the best family. And now when his mother died, his family went in all different directions and don't, stay in contact with him, it sounds like. So I understand where he was coming from and how he was nervous to bring it up, and how he said, I think he said he like felt ashamed at how his family dynamic
is. Which is really sad, because that's like the dynamic of so many of our families. Like a lot of our families are splintered or have had a family member pass on. And just because it was this way from 1 to 15, now this is the way it is. And it's not the same, but it can still be good. Or, you know what I mean? Like
yeah, and I think
I was wanting him to be like, this is the way it was and this is tragic, but this is who I am now, and I want you to see that,
Yeah, and
I wanted him to say that.
That's the route that she went.
Yeah.
She was saying, I want to see, the people who made you who you are. And she was, really welcoming to it and understanding that not everyone has a great family.
And family isn't always blood.
Right.
Right.
And so she just wanted to meet the people that were most important to him.
Right. Maybe it's a best friend or a distant relative or something that, has helped him grow up after his mom died.
And I get him not wanting to lead with this on night two or something. But yes. You're 2 months in. You're on the verge of taking her to wherever it is you grew up or where your family lives. And she's literally telling you to tell her, this is the time where you say, okay, yes. And it shouldn't have to be every bit pulled out of him. Like, we shouldn't have had to go through the tooth fairy and the giggles and all that.
And the favorite dinosaur.
I have a strained relationship with my father.
Which we already kind of knew.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he was having trouble bringing it up again. Like, he already brought it up to her once before. It's not like it was the first time. And I thought it was easier for him to do it the very first time than it was to bring it up again.
Yeah.
Well,
the whole thing with him was super bizarre.
But it all made sense when you saw the very ending and you saw his dad, and then you can see how maybe there is some kind of stronghold that his dad has over him. I mean, I can't walk in his shoes. I don't know. All we can see is what we see. And so
it will be a very interesting
dynamic.
But even if it's the worst relationship ever, and trust me, that's probably more normal than all these times we see people go back and
super happy family,
right.
love, how come kiss.
And I get you don't want to talk about that because, like I said, that's not the top thing he probably ever wants to talk about.
Nobody wants to talk about
this. But you're 2 months in and she's telling you, no, this is where we talk about the serious stuff. I mean, you shouldn't have to have it written out at this point.
And if you can't talk about the serious stuff when you're seriously involved with someone, then what are we doing here?
But he still ended up to get a rose, and we're going to see his family situation, which It's a little left of center, and that's fine.
It looks very interesting, very bright colors.
Some bright something.
Yeah. So he got his rose, and then Peter gets the third one-on-one.
The final one-on-one of the season.
Yes.
Which completed the circle for him.
How does it feel,
because
Peter?
Because of the first and the last. That's right. That's right.
Of course, it was a helicopter ride.
Obviously. Over the Alps. Yes.
And then dog sledding, which was, I saw a funny tweet, and I don't remember who tweeted it, but it said, looks like ABC had a leftover Groupon from Nick and Vanessa's dog sledding.
All right.
Which I thought that was really funny. But yeah, and then they decided to just like lay in the middle of a blizzard.
And
together.
That's the point
and
where they said, oh, this
so
is so warm.
Wait,
what life is this? And I mean, I don't think Peter did anything to take away his front runner status.
No.
I don't know if you saw anything. I mean,
no, he's pretty. He's still up number one.
He did the whole I've never dated a black girl before, and that he's, you know, assured Rachel that he's very excited and wants to bring her home to his family.
Yeah, and the family will support them.
Yeah, and you notice they got right into that conversation without any awkward left and right turns, and it just...
Speaking of
they
dating...
They just talked about it.
Black girl going back to the Breitling when they're in the store, she's with Brian, and she asked him, about the watch strap.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I like black.
Do you like black? And he goes, yeah, I love black. She's like, I hope so. It was a cute little one-liner. Anyway,
she likes to do those one-liners. That
she does, because there's
go
nothing,
back to that.
I think when people are nervous or there's something that they don't want to make a joke about something, she's mastered that.
Yep.
You know, she's
which
had
is good,
to, I guess.
You know, and he was even honest about he has some reservations.
Peter,
or if he had reservations, that if he had reservations, he's not going to propose. And they tried to sort of frame that in a negative light, but I think, A, he's being honest, and you would hope that anybody that shows up isn't on that final episode isn't just going to propose for the sake of proposing. Mm. You can stay together and not get, you know, be engaged at the end of this. I mean, it's 2 months. No one has to say, we have to get engaged right now. Obviously, the show would make it a bigger deal than it is, but I think that's... I don't know. I thought that was another positive for him.
Yeah. And I think
they look good together, too.
Yeah, they do. And I think
natural. That
was the first time that we actually saw Rachel a little scared, because she was like, well, what if he's the last one and doesn't feel like it's right, doesn't feel like he wants to propose, then what? Because she's like, that's why I'm here. Like, I'm here to find a husband.
Yeah, like, with all the other guys, she kind of was more in control. You know, she bought him a watch. I'll take two. Let's go. With Peter, when he showed up, she took a flying leap year into his arms, wrapped her legs around him, and he's, like, it was more... She took a less dominant role. She takes a less dominant role when they're together. You see that she wants him to...
Well, it's just easier with them.
Yeah, I mean, and it's sweet.
They don't have to really force as much
as
on the other dates. And it was interesting that, you know, surprise, surprise, he gets the rose. She said, oh, I was kind of nervous that he wouldn't accept it. Like, what show have you been living the last 2 months? Are you kidding me?
What dates have you been on?
Right? I mean, at what point did you ever think, like, because he talked about, well, I'm not going to propose to someone if I have doubts, that... I mean,
yeah, the not accepting the rose was a little dramatic.
Yeah, but you know, when you're super into someone and then you start to get insecure, you could be the most secure and confident person on the planet, but when you fall for someone, a lot of times your bravado goes away and you go... Oh, geez.
Clearly.
You know?
Yeah, I know, right?
Right?
And, but it goes back to, you had a great point before with Nick and Vanessa, because she was so confident right up until the end, and then all of a sudden it's, oh my God, what's going on here?
Freak
what's
out.
Happening? And you start thinking, that's a good point. Once now you're getting the nitty gritty, you start maybe overthinking things more than this whole show is overthinking, but especially at the end when you only have these 4 or 5 guys that you're thinking about.
Yeah.
And now the one who specifically has been sort of the apple of your eye, now, oh, wait, maybe it isn't so perfect.
Yeah, what if it doesn't happen the way that
and
I want it to?
Am I going to be left with Dean? Nick and Vanessa broke up. Is this true? Have we heard, have you guys heard any confirmation of that?
I haven't heard confirmation.
There's rumblings.
I saw that their relationship is on the rocks.
But remember, you have to keep... You have to stay together for X amount of months to keep the ring. So much like Ben and Lauren,
right?
I don't think any of us would really doubt that they're staying together long enough so that she can keep the ring. And
only she gets it? Yeah, because he was the main principal and he got paid. And he got paid.
What would he, what, he's going to take the ring back?
No, he got his money because he got paid. Yeah. And so she'll get hers.
But going back to the date with Peter, we saw him get emotional for the first time.
Yes.
Which, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the situation that they got in. But he was explaining how his ex-girlfriend, like, they slowly drifted apart. And they decided to break up. He left all packed and drove away and looked in the rearview mirror and saw her crying in the doorway.
It was very cinematic.
And, yes. And he blamed himself for abandoning her, and they were in love, but he just couldn't give his whole heart to her, and he had a lot of guilt about that, and then he started crying and got really emotional.
I thought this was going somewhere
huge.
Completely different.
I did too.
She died.
Did you think there was a kid involved?
No, I thought she died.
I thought she died.
I thought there was a kid involved. The guilt. I don't know.
I see her in the rear view waving.
Yeah, I thought that he was going to say he left, they broke up, and then
2 days later,
she died or something.
Oh my God.
Because that's.
You guys are more devious than I am. I didn't think that at all.
That's the vibe I got from him. He was getting so worked up and upset about it. So
yeah, I started going through my notes. I'm thinking, wait, did he have a girlfriend that killed herself or that died? And like, what is? Did I forget?
Yeah,
some
did we
major
like miss
thing
something?
That happened in his life?
I really thought that they had like a kid together, and he felt guilty, and because now she won't let him see him or something. Like that was
totally. I thought like I had missed something, and I thought it was definitely going in the direction that shortly after they broke up, she died.
Yeah. Once it got to Dean, this is so great. Thank you so
much.
But
we looked
it
up and she's very much alive.
Yeah, very much alive.
And no children.
Her name's Brittany.
Instagram and all.
No children.
She's on the gram. You can find her. It's fine. But it just, then it was all, thanks for sharing. And we move on. Okay.
Like, why are you getting so upset?
Like people break up
because it's that time of the show where you get upset.
I know,
right? But like, are you still in love with her? Like, where are all these like emotions coming from?
You feel bad for breaking up with her or leaving after you break up. I mean, that's sort of what happens when you break up.
You don't stay around.
You leave.
Yeah, unless he's still very much into her.
I definitely thought it was going in a morbid direction,
and she was fine with it clearly. So I mean, like I said, I didn't think he did anything wrong here. Basically, because he generally
doesn't.
Right,
yeah, I agree.
It just, it seemed like it was going to go to a way different place.
Yeah.
Well, so we have Peter gets the rose. We got our three set. Now we work our way to Adam, Eric, and Matt, who have to fight it out on a 3-on-3 date. And all
3-on-1.
Drinking basketball
exactly.
And sports still. But
so while I really like this idea of not having a rose ceremony at this point and just having everybody sort of earn their way in, was it not super creepy seeing them take off on that boat and just have the three guys sort of huddle around her?
These types of dates are always awkward and uncomfortable and weird.
It just, for some reason, adding the third dude made it more uncomfortable than the normal 2-on-1. I don't know.
But it is.
No, I'm with you.
Condé Nast's guide to Europe on $30 a day or whatever. Like, holy cow, did they cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to go to France now. Okay.
And sure. Next stop, Spain. You know, they're going to be going to Spain. And
I had no idea it was so easy to bounce around in these countries.
Just jump on the, go across the English Channel.
So I think we're going to need to start putting together, you know, the Bachelorette European Tour or something.
Oh. Can we please host that?
Let's do
Take
it.
A group of people that
That'd
would be
awesome.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yeah, let's
oh
do it.
Oh my God. So yeah, Adam, Eric, and Matt fighting it out on the 3-on-1 date. And Matt started pouring his heart out to Rachel. And I guess the foreshadowing was there.
Yeah, he was saying how this process, you know, this whole process went so fast.
Process.
Read the BuzzFeed article.
Read the BuzzFeed article on Bachelor Podcast.
The process went fast, but because it goes so fast, you really learn a lot about yourself and another person, like being on this fast track. And then Rachel started to cry. So I think right then you, or maybe when he just started talking, you just knew.
But he was crying too.
Yeah, you knew that it was probably going in the other direction. And Rachel was like, out of everyone, you're the one that reminds me of myself, like exactly of myself. And I think he thought that was a really good thing.
Yeah.
And you could see him kind of like pep up a little bit. And then unfortunately it didn't
chop.
Womp.
Cry into car. She made a mistake.
And he took the champagne.
Yes.
That was the best part of the whole
thing. It was one of the more interesting exit scenes because, first of all, he got the rare kiss on the exit.
Yes.
And not just peck on the cheek kiss, like kiss.
Two of them.
Yeah. And so usually it's a hug, maybe a peck on the cheek. Very rarely do you see the full-on kiss. And then he said, yeah, I'm just going to take this. And he reached over
and took the champagne.
And he kept the champagne for the ride in. Oh. I'm drinking on the way out. Are you kidding me? I thought I was leaving here with a rose. I'm at least going to leave here with some rosé.
I mean, if the bottle had been
that was
there,
the best move.
You should have taken that one, too. But yeah, so bye-bye to Matt. I was sad to see him go. You know, he's a Connecticut son, and mm-hmm. we're here in Connecticut.
She
so.
Just didn't want to go to Meriden.
She just didn't want to go to Meriden.
Google it, people.
Why not?
But Eric is next up, and you know, we get to know him a whole lot better, and he opens up about how just straight up effing hard his life has been, not just for him, but
everyone he knew, his family. An uncle serving 50 years in prison.
Everyone, it just touched everyone in his life, and he was growing up in a tough part of a tough city, Baltimore, and so he was kind of nervous about opening up to her about that because not everyone can handle it, you know?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, he started out with telling her that he's never brought a girl home. And I think by just saying that, she was kind of like
taken aback.
Why? Like, and she even said in a confessional, like, he's 29 and he's never taken a girl home. Like, what's
wrong
up with that? Like,
yeah.
What's wrong with him? Like, what's going on? And then I think he maybe could read that off of her face, and that's when he got into his whole family situation.
Right. He's like, well, here's why. I'm not going to bring anyone home because not many people could handle the reality of my upbringing in my life.
He even said after he got the rose, but he did say, like, listen, I've never been this vulnerable when talking to someone before. And that, I think, goes back to, well, why has no one ever met his family? Because he's never felt comfortable enough to go to that point. I mean, we can talk about Dean and his family issues, but it's everybody's family is different. And I think that she finally saw, like, okay, went from, well, why would he not take someone home? Like, oh, okay, I get it. And the fact that he went, basically laid it all out for me, like, I think that was probably just sort of the last, like, okay. Like,
thing she needed.
He also
said, I'm so used to helping other people. That's, you know, I vowed that I would help other people, and I don't want any help. I don't want a handout. I don't want anyone helping me get to where I'm going. I want to be able to show that I can do it myself. And he said, so he has a hard time taking.
Yeah.
Even if it's not even help, if it's someone just trying to be nice, you can see that he triggers back to, I don't want any help, leave me alone.
Yeah, he was
defensive about that.
Yeah, being very independent
mm-hmm.
when talking about that. But then, I don't know if you noticed, Rachel was like, well, then who takes care of Eric? And then he like fights back and was like, well, that's what I'm looking for. So like,
I do
was like,
help.
All right, like, not so independent in that one moment. But,
yeah.
And she's like, so you're looking for someone like to take care of you pretty much. And he's like, not so much that, but just to be with me and like go through life and She liked not that. So much, yeah, not yeah. so much taking care of him because
yeah, I think just sort of having a partner and so that he doesn't have to right. do it all himself.
I think she was impressed with the conversation.
Yeah, because he's overall. Always had to do it himself, and even not just for himself, but for everyone around him and where he even could help. Because obviously there are certain people and certain things that you couldn't help with. It's just not possible. So we just saw a lot of these layers that we just didn't get to see with him for so many of these weeks when he was either arguing with Lee or just not getting one-on-one, as he pointed out for a while. So now that we only have a few guys left, we finally get to see
we
something.
We understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, and
from.
I think she's in the same boat, no pun intended. Like, she finally got to see some things that she didn't...
Like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now that makes sense.
Not and I mean, understand. Adam had been a little squirrely on the date anyway, so I mean, the decision might have been already made, but I mean...
Well, Adam thought he was a shoo-in.
He started out that date was like, oh, I have the strongest... I definitely have the strongest connection but out just, of all the guys, but...
He was so weird, and like, why would you keep harping on the difficult word? And
yeah, he did that a lot,
right?
But to say that you're the strongest one is Bachelor and Bachelor World speak for you're going to be cut soon. Yeah, so.
Exactly. That was my first thought too.
Yeah, like, oh, here it comes.
But yeah, it was just funny when they started talking, and he was like, "Do you see yourself falling in love with me?" And she was like, well, that's why you're still here.
So. It goes back to the thing with Peter in week one and whatever. If you're 2 months in, like, do you really need to be? That's basically was her response. It's like, bitch, please.
Yeah.
Come on. This is 8 weeks now, and you're really going to be asking me that?
Yeah. And then another foreshadowing Bachelor moment was when he was like, "I just want your decision to be easy, and I want you to go with your heart and your gut." And then she was like, "Eric, bye."
So, about
oh, okay.
That.
Bye. Between you and Eric, I'll take Eric. That's really easy.
You're right. I should go with my heart. Bye.
Bye-bye. But then we get to see some of the coming attractions, what we have to look forward to. And Eric, they're sitting there at dinner, and she's got, all I noticed was whatever color lipstick she had on. But anyway, he told her that he was in love with her in the coming attractions. And then. So, we have a lot to look forward to. She's walking through a vineyard in a full evening, pink evening gown. You know, she's in Spain. They're looking at the sunset. I mean, we have a whole travelogue to get to.
Quite a few interesting hometown dates to come.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Some interesting family dynamics. And
so what? So they're going to finish out in Europe. And then they're going to go to the hometown. I don't expect they'll go home and then come back.
I mean,
it looked like a proposal was happening in Spain.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't quite follow along because it did seem like they were having dates
like
still in Europe, but clearly they have to go do hometowns, and I don't know if they're just going to jet do hometowns for a week and then finish back over. I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, of course it doesn't, but.
But it's the Bachelor universe.
It doesn't have
what
to make sense.
I mean, I suppose they could stick around before hometowns for a week. Fly back, go to hometowns, and then, I mean, the vineyard shot could be in Napa. It could be wherever. I mean,
you're exactly right.
They could just stay in the States for a picturesque type spot that you could mistake for
right,
Spain
and they do that all the time. They're known for that. So who do we have left on our fantasy teams here? All of us have at least one person.
On my team, it's Brian. On Ryan's team, it's Peter. And on your team... Dean and Eric.
I have the crier. Okay.
The giggler.
The pawn. So that's who we have left.
And I think we each have a strong... Because I mean, personally, I don't think... I mean, I'm kind of surprised after his meltdown that Dean even got there, but...
I think it's between Brian and Peter, personally.
Right. But I think Eric has come on strong. So, I mean, I think there are three really strong candidates, and then there's Dean.
There's Dean. And then there's Dean.
Poor Dean.
Poor Dean.
He's doing so well.
And, so,
and then this week was just,
your heart breaks for him, though, when you see his family. Like, it just, you go, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think we sort of assume Peter's still the leader in the clubhouse.
Oh,
and
most definitely.
If he doesn't end up the one at the end, I mean, I think we can probably agree he would be the Bachelor.
But, oh, yeah, we haven't even talked about this yet.
Would Brian be a good Bachelor? Because I know Dean wouldn't.
I mean, looks-wise, Brian could be the Bachelor.
Brian could be the Bachelor. And who was that guy who took his shirt off on Ellen?
No. Alex?
Yeah.
No.
Well, how about Eric?
Maybe.
I mean, Eric could be a good Bachelor, and so could Brian.
But the problem...
I don't know if that would be
the problem with Eric is that
he's been...
No, I don't even have a problem with that. Is, if anything, that actually helps this case. But he's been so reluctant to be that open guy that we've seen in Europe. And so when he's been on his dates and he's, yeah, let's go in the hot tub. Let's, you know, that's the type of guy that would be a great Bachelor. But the whole rest of the series, he's been very reserved.
I don't see any of them as being a great next Bachelor, honestly.
Well, I think Peter would be great, but that's me assuming he's going to win. But Brian, like Katie says, has the looks.
Wait, plot twist. Peter wins, but then it doesn't work out, and he becomes the next Bachelor, a la Nick Viall.
That would have to not work very quickly, because they have to turn around.
And Bachelor in Paradise, we haven't even touched on this. Corinne has called her lawyers off and said she was a victim of disinformation, misinformation, but not a sexual assault victim. DeMario's been cleared. He had declined taking part in Bachelor in Paradise, mm-hmm. but then I saw something else about he wants to make a statement about it, or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing is nothing criminal happened.
Right.
Thankfully, there were no assaults. Everything is kosher there. They're back. They're filming. We're going to get
the
show.
They're drinking in front of TV
cameras. Yeah, we're going to get the show back in August. We're not sure exactly when yet because they're probably going to have to push it a week or two because of...
Yeah, it was supposed to be the first Monday in August.
So it'll probably be pushed a little, but we're going to get it. We might get it a little less drunk because they're apparently going to monitor drinking a little
rules.
Bit more.
Yeah.
But all in all, I expect to see the same show. People make fools of themselves in Mexico.
In a legal way.
In a legal way that we can all enjoy. Maybe get... We'll also get to see the wedding out there, Evan and Carly's wedding.
Oh, that's right.
So the season, at least we'll have the wedding in it.
Of all the contestants, those two.
And maybe we'll get to see another couple from there.
You never know. We don't have to miss a week. We're coming back next week for Hometown. Can't wait for that.
And then we'll find out who goes to the fantasy suites.
The fantasy suites. And then who's going to put the ring on her finger.
Neil Lane coming up quick.
We'll make an appearance.
We haven't seen our boy Neil in a
bit.
I know. Can't wait. It's the best part of the show.
So you can find us on social media, like always, at Bachelor Podcast across all platforms. We're on iTunes. We're on Play.it. Please like us and subscribe to us. And thank you for tuning in. And, you know, send us messages on Facebook and whatnot if you have questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Christine Lee. Katie Pallotta, thank you.
Thank you.
Ryan Jones.
I can't wait to see the final four. Maybe I can come up with something much more clever when we're down minus Dean.
I doubt it.